You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
A faith-based organization trying to get into their program often say that one way or another, and I pray it's absolutely true. Some of his behavior...
You think it was demonic activity that caused him to want to rape young men?
You know, it's hard for me to ascribe to what was going on. It certainly would make sense, but to what was going on in his mind and what caused him to have those inclinations or desires or thinking and leaning in the first place, I don't know.
We seem to be going into an age of perversion where some people in churches are actually bowing down and I think there's a seat for everybody in church on Sunday or Saturday or Monday or whatever it might be. I don't think somebody should be in a leadership position who's mm-hmm. actively in sin. Of course, today they want to say that calling out any sin is hate speech. And this is making a lot of people who want to love, as Jesus did, accept all these weird lifestyles that are coming to light. It's a strange time when you have to lay down the law and then you're perceived the law. It's perceived as being hateful, you know?
Yeah. The enemy has always had many devices. And we say that we're in a time of, extreme perversion. And I think there's always been extreme perversions in the world. And as far as alternative lifestyles, I've explained to a few people when they've asked me about that, I said, listen, there's no doubt that he loves us all. He just he wants the best for us. And he's told us what that looks like. He's prescribed the best types and styles and approaches to relationships in his word. And that's his desires for us all. If someone falls outside of that, do they lose his love? No, but they still fall outside of his desires and what's best for them. I think he's told us. And if you look at statistically speaking, people who live lifestyles outside of a biblical lifestyle, they have more problems. They have more mental health issues. They have more substance use issues. They have more interpersonal relationship issues. God's given us a prescription for the best life and lifestyle, and it draws us closer to him as makes us more in his likeness. But people who choose to live outside of that will lose all that he has to offer, and that's a darn shame. And so is it my place to condemn them? No. Is it my place to help them see the light? Yes. I believe that we are called as believers to, and part of that is living it ourselves. And people will accept the truth from somebody who gives it lovingly and lives it lovingly.
There are true crime podcasts. Podcasting has become a big thing now. This will eventually be a podcast too, as well as broadcast, at the Rhett Palmer podcast. You could actually have entree with a story into true crime and be a guest. And then you can, of course, use it as a vehicle to bring up the name above all names, the King of all kings, Jesus, mm-hmm. the loving Messiah. Have you ever thought about a book? But I don't know if that's in God's order, because there's places in the Bible where he says don't repeat a matter mm-hmm. because it could inspire someone to actually commit the same crime, as weird as that sounds.
Yeah, and I don't think it would. So I've had that question about a book. People said, "Oh, you have a made-for-TV movie life," and I would agree. And part of it is, if I really told the whole story, it would be it would bring dishonor to some individuals that I want to bring honor to. So while they're still living, I choose to keep that portions of it where it is.
Can you tell us at least how it would dishonor them?
Well, so if somebody, not without saying more than I should, there are people who some, when I mentioned past transgressions against me and stuff, the relationships that were not run well, there's people in my life that I've now healed relationships with. But if I told the whole story, I'd have to talk about the ugly past. And at this point, I don't see value to them. Our relationship.
I want to talk about this forgiveness thing. Mm-hmm. I moved down here. I'm off from upstate New York, but I moved to Nashville for a short time, less than a year, and then came to Vero Beach. While I was there, I was taking some classes in gospel music writing, and a couple of women just cast aspersions on my character, and they didn't even know me. Mm. Anyway, for over 30 years, I held ill will against these ladies until I was driving home one night from a 12-step meeting, and I was still vitriolic towards these women 30 years later. So I said, the Lord said, oh, boy, you've changed a lot since you moved from Nashville. I mean, you've been in Vero Beach for 30 years. Yeah. You've really grown, haven't you? This is a conversation, not an audible, but, gee, I really have grown, you know. And suddenly he goes, well, so have those ladies. Mm. And the women that you hate are no longer alive. They've moved forward, and they have also grown. And all of a sudden, poof. All I've had no ill will towards them ever since. It was like, oh, they've grown too. You know, we all get a chance to grow. And I don't know what depends on the person, but it took you going through this hell to not be. Now, are you no longer angry? Because sometimes I can still, I'm much more able to just not be, you know, if somebody gets mad in traffic, I just say, I'm not going to join your party. You know, you're inviting me to a party. I'm not going.
Yeah. So am I angry as a constant? Absolutely not. Do I never ever experience any anger? No, I can't say that I'm that good. You know, there are things that will irritate me. I will say that I realize it now, and I come around from it pretty quick, and I let him deal with it. But to say that nothing ever angers me anymore would not be true.
Now let's tie all this together, because we can do another interview in the future, but we got about maybe 12 more minutes left. I want to ask how all this brought you to a, because you were a little kid when you accepted the Lord, I think, mm-hmm. right?
Correct. 11 years old.
Now, and so, but your parent, and you had to lie in case mm-hmm. somebody's just tuned in. You had to tell your parents you were going to go on a date with a girl on a Sunday morning, but in fact, you lied, took your bicycle, and went to church. That's an amazing story, usually. I mean, that's so opposite. So obviously, it seems like there was some sort of a call on your life, a desire, an appetite for the good things of God way back then. What finally brought you to a saving knowledge of Jesus as the loving Messiah?
Well, so that story, when I began to go to that church, and I went there for some period of time, I sat in the very back, and I never said anything. And each time, twice a week, they'd have an altar call, and I thought I was the only unsaved person there. So I didn't want to stand up and make a spectacle of myself and go up for the altar call until finally one time I had the courage to do so. And I stood up, and one of the deacons sort of grabbed me by the shoulder and he said, we'd really rather you didn't do that here, and took me outside and told me that—
Didn't do what?
He didn't want me to go up front for the altar call.
Why?
Well, his explanation to me was you got to understand how I looked at the time, too. He says, we don't want a long-haired hippie freak Jew coming here to steal our girls, was what he told me. And so,
were you Jewish?
Yeah, come from a Jewish background. So,
Oh, my word. He actually said that?
He said that.
What a horrible human being.
Right. So that was, you know, in a fairly an area that's not as shocking, right, the demographics. But then that summer I went up
to— Well, you need to jump up and down because you're a guy that's been persecuted.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, you're sharing the tribulations of Jesus as a Jew. You didn't tell me you were Jewish. This is amazing. Yeah. This is just simply amazing. This guy said, we'd rather you didn't go forward. Do you know that they turned down Gandhi, went to a Christian church?
Yeah, I know that story.
And they said, you're not dressed properly enough to go to church. What fools. They have no idea what Jesus was. Do they know it's not written that Jesus was not handsome, right, that anyone should take notice of him? But anyway, go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry.
So later that summer, we were up in North Carolina, and I went to a vacation Bible school, and they were basically building houses out of popsicle sticks was what was going on. And I asked the girl who was running the camp if I could accept Jesus there, and she said, we don't really do that here. So then there was a small church down around the corner from where we're staying. I walked over there. They're having a family day. They were making homemade ice cream. It was a big picnic. And I went up to the pastor, and I'll never forget his name because he was Pastor Ball, and his wife's name was Oval. So Oval Ball just always kind of cracked me up. But so I mentioned to him, So I mentioned my experience, and he says, I'm really sorry you had that experience, but you'd probably get the same welcome here. You got to remember, I was in the middle of Appalachia. And I was already the darkest skinned person they'd ever seen in that neighborhood. So I didn't fit in. Again, I had long hair, tie dye, you know, just the wrong look for church in that day and that place. And so he told me that I'd get the same reception there, even though he believed it was wrong. And so I stole a Bible, and I took it home, and I read it that summer, cover to cover, several times. I devoured it, and at the end of the summer, what I got out of that, and don't get me wrong, I've learned a lot more since, but what I got out of that time of in the Word was these people in church don't know Jesus.
No.
I stayed.
Don't know Jesus.
Right. And
exactly.
I stayed away from church for a long time because of it. I became, you know, a Lone Ranger believer, and that's not good. That lack of discipleship allowed me to make some bad decisions, to fail to truly divine the Word properly, and a lot of things that didn't need to happen had I had a different experience and was more welcomed and had a healthier church to be exposed to. But God uses it all. Yeah.
Yeah, this is amazing. He put such an appetite. Here's this poor kid, this Jewish kid that wants to come to know Jesus, Messiah, and they won't even allow him to go forward in church. I've never heard. This is an amazing story. And you don't seem to. I'd never met you, or you said I did meet you. Maybe
we met briefly. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we judge each other, and I'm looking at you, going, "This is a guy that doesn't have any guile. You seem like a very tender guy, sensitive guy. You're not." It's almost like I was wondering if the Lord was telling me to help you because you're not really like a rabbi. Who's the famous rabbi that's going around now speaking? He's got all his books out.
And
that's great. And Cohen.
Yeah, Cohen.
And he has that outgoing personality, whereas you're kind of like, you know, you don't seem to be egotistical whatsoever, which is amazing because I've always think that the greatest people that should be president of the United States will never run for the presidency.
Who would want that job?
And also, you know, you get a lot of people who, well, whatever, you know, and I think it's in Peter, it says, in the end times, there will be those who will err from the way of truth, seeking after riches, and will therefore pierce themselves with many sorrows. And I don't know about you, but I don't trust many television evangelists personally.
I'm with you. Yeah.
I'm not going to call out anybody on the air. That's not my job. Jesus didn't call me to judge. It's not my circus. It's not my monkeys. My job is just to love, whether gay, straight, Jew, Gentile. Now, do you go to a messianic congregation at all? Do you recognize your Judaism?
I have a good friend who's a messianic rabbi. I'm actually just recently found out through Ancestry that I'm.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.